GM, GM, Bitcoin fam, I want to take you back to January, February 2023. Ordinals were just popping off. Everyone's inscribing like crazy, trying to get into that sub 100K and then sub 1 mil. Sats per V-byte are going crazy. And there's a bunch of fears, like wallet support was super early. And so you're not sure if you're going to send off your inscription as money and have it be spent or it's going to an exchange. And there was no way to really trade these things for a while. And one of the earliest ways to trade was Emblem Vault, which is who I have on the show today. Mr. Adam McBride is the strategy and marketing guy over at Emblem Vault. And yeah, those early days, you had to really get creative, and they were really early to market to be able to allow you to put these assets into a vault and then swap them. It was happening on ETH, which is interesting, but yeah. So I wanted to talk with Adam about a bunch of these topics. What is Emblem Vault? Because when you use it, especially the first time, it's so counter to what you're used to on a regular native marketplace. So I want to get to know what their thesis was, what were they initially building, and where are they going, and a bunch of other topics. So without further ado, let's jump straight into this fantastic conversation with Adam McBride from Emblem Vault.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
Adam,
Yo, bro.
how you doing?
Good, man.
Good to chat with you. First, by the way, first live in person interview for the podcast.
Let's do it, man.
So
Love live.
this is a big moment, big moment. And we're out in Nashville right now. How's the vibes been so far for you?
Dude, the vibes, I've been to, I don't know how many conferences like you, a lot, right? This is the most toppy vibes I've ever felt in all of Bitcoin, all of crypto. Like, and I don't want to write it off. I think in a lot of ways it's like we finally feel like an administration change is going to say crypto's okay again, right? And so it feels very, knock on wood, it feels toppy, but I hope it's not toppy. I hope it's just
So you're not sure if this is good or bad?
I'm not no I think it's very good. I think it's positive for the space. The space deserves to feel good about not being illegal. Right? We want to be legal. We want to do things legally.
Yes, give us clarity, please.
Give us clarity. How about getting out of our way? That would be amazing. And so if I think that sentiment of like the Trump presidency or him possibly winning is giving us this bullish feel like, oh my God, we might be able to go forward as an industry again, which I think everybody wants.
And it's funny too, because like, and the longer you spend here, the more you're like, price is the last thing you care about.
Totally.
When it's going up, we're all like happy, but everyone else, especially the builders, are just like heads down trying to build cool shit, and the price takes care of itself is kind of how most people treat it.
Totally.
And you just show up and do your thing.
I mean, I literally don't even look. I don't even know what the price of
Yeah,
Bitcoin or
I literally,
Ethereum
I just watched David Bailey's Twitter to know if it's up or down.
is.
He's the biggest bull poster, but he's also like my barometer, depending how he's tweeting about being bullish.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I don't know, the ETF for Ethereum launched on Tuesday, and it like, did price go down? Okay. You know, people are tweeting, what happened? What happened? It's like, who cares? You know, because we're here for decades, right? We're not worried about, this year or this month, you know.
Cool, man. Well, you guys are building some cool stuff, and we'll dance around it. But first, place me. Like, I want to hear a little about like your backstory, and like we can do the very quick.
Then Adam arc?
The very quick
Are
overview.
you
But
interested in the Adam crypto arc or the Adam life arc?
let's do the one bullet point before crypto, and then the crypto arc.
Before crypto, I guess my main thing is I've lived outside of the US longer than I lived in the US. So lived in the Caribbean for a number of years. Now I live in Costa Rica. So Costa Rica is kind of my thing. Been in Costa Rica for like 25 years. So my wife and I have always had businesses, always been a business guy, and got into crypto in like 2016. Tried to do ICO. I still think like ICOs, the idea of raising money globally. I'd run Kickstarters for other businesses. And so I know how effective like that is, even though Kickstarter is like this kind of clunky mechanism.
Yep.
You get the product, you're not really investing in the company.
Yep.
I thought the idea of ICOs where you're raising to a global audience was fantastic. Like I just thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
So I started a business in 2016 to basically become the technical person for I would make the coins and help legitimate businesses.
So you were handling the tech side?
Tech side, yeah.
Okay.
Because really my brother had a business, an online business, which I thought it would work great for. We ended up not doing it, kind of thankfully, you know, to not get in trouble or whatever.
Yeah.
So we didn't do it. It was, just, you know, a failed business. The thing I failed with was my time and energy. But that's the way I kind of learned, you know.
Yep.
And that's the way that got me into crypto. And then I returned in 2020 and 2021 with NFTs.
Mm.
Like I'd heard of NFTs in 2016 and 17 and saw them kind of coming out with CryptoPunks and CryptoKitties and stuff.
Yep.
But in 20 and 21, I saw punks like rise in price. And I was like, wait, this changes my thesis. Because my thesis was NFTs are going to be like, you know, really free, almost nothing, giveaways, baseball card type stuff. It turned out that was right, but that it became like Mickey Mantle baseball cards very quickly, right? The CryptoPunks went up wildly in price in 3 years rather than 50 years, right? So my thesis, I think, is still right. Most NFTs are basically like the air we breathe. They're just free. You can make infinite of them.
Yeah.
A way of tracking ownership.
Yep.
But there will be a sliver that hold immense value.
Yep.
Right. And so getting into NFTs was amazing in 21. There were so many magical events in 21. It's when I met Shannon, the founder of Emblem Vault. I interviewed him for my podcast I had at the time.
Okay.
And, you know, here I am with Emblem Vault all these years later, trying to build out like this cross-chain thesis that we kind of believe in.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And when, so like, let's pivot into the Emblem Vault thing, but time-wise, when did you join Emblem Vault?
It's like a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Oh, so pretty recent.
Yeah, Jake and I joined about a year and a half ago. The idea at the time was, we're going to build basically a historical NFT marketplace, a marketplace for like really high-end older NFTs.
Okay.
That thesis has now changed to, as we've seen the desire for cross-chain mechanisms take place.
Yep.
We've grown that to my like whole vision of the way Web3 is going to work has changed over time. And I believe that there are going to be almost infinite number of blockchains. How those blockchains, the assets move, that's the thing we're trying to figure out.
Mm.
Right. Right now, like almost all of crypto and Web3 is clunky.
Yeah.
Right. It's wallets. I have 50 different wallets and everything's clunky and blocked out and hard to use.
Yep.
Right. How do we create this web of value? And stuff just moves and the end user doesn't know how it works.
Yep.
Right. That's really what we're trying to build out. And we're at beginning stages.
Yeah.
Right? We're definitely first, second inning of that game.
Interesting.
You know.
It's interesting. So the first use case or the first product idea was a custom tailored marketplace for specifically the highest value. So it's like an ETH marketplace at the time.
Right.
Just for the creme de la creme.
It was basically an ETH marketplace for Bitcoin NFTs.
So you're focusing on like the Pepe, like the counterparty assets?
Counterparty assets.
Yeah.
People don't even know, but Namecoin assets.
Yep.
Like these rare exotic blockchains like Bitcoin. And bringing them to the liquidity, which is on Ethereum.
Yeah.
Right. That was the thesis. Now it's okay. How do I take my Bitcoin NFT and move it onto Blast to mine Blast points, or move it onto Solana to trade on a very liquid marketplace, or move it on whatever the next blockchain is?
Yep.
Because the person wants for a Pepe is over there, right?
Yep.
So right now we're doing a lot of discussions with, you see, you know, the guys who make Pudgy Penguins, right?
Mm.
They're making an L2.
Yep.
Okay. How are they going to attract new communities into that L2? One of the possibilities, obviously, the penguins are going to want to move over there,
yep,
right?
Yep.
But are you going to lock a penguin in a bridge to get over there, or could Emblem Vault create that bridge for you, where the provenance is maintained, so the asset never leaves its native chain, you're never burning it, you're not putting it in a bridge, right? But it still can access the L2 and be traded and all this sort of stuff. But that we have that provenance maintained. So it's different than, like, we were talking offline about, like, Wormhole.
Yep.
And how they use either a locking mechanism or a burn and mint mechanism, where you're taking the NFT, burning it, and then minting a new one on the other chain.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that. We lock it in an NFT, and that NFT on the other chain holds the private keys to the original
yep.
one.
Yep, yep.
And then you can trade that. And what we've built out over this last year is what we're calling our jump mechanism. And what that jump mechanism will allow is, once you've put it in an envelope vault, you want to put it on Blast, okay? You mint it on Blast. But then you want to jump it back to Ethereum, because they're popping off on Ethereum. It's literally one button. It jumps. We create a brand new NFT to hold the private keys on Ethereum. And, I don't know, next day you want to move it somewhere else, it becomes this invisible layer where the person can simply move the asset wherever they need for whatever they want. They want to take a loan off in Ethereum, they can do it. They want to farm Blast points, they can move it to Blast. They want to bring it to Base for whatever Base has popping off,
yep.
they can move it to Base. That infrastructure layer, that's what Emblem's building.
Interesting. Yeah, so...
So it's way bigger than a marketplace now. It's basically a hub
yep.
of a spoke system where all the outer layers of the spoke are all these different blockchains.
Mm-hmm.
Emblem's in the middle and becomes the way you move your asset around.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to rehash, because, yeah, people get the concept of bridging for the most part, and they know there's, like, a trust somewhere in the bridge almost always. We don't have trustless bridges for almost anything currently. And, yeah, the paradigm of what you guys are doing is actually pretty interesting. I used it when Ordinals first popped off. You guys were really, early.
Yeah, we were the first. We did almost all trading.
For like that first month or two, it was all you guys.
Almost, people forget that almost all Ordinals traded on Ethereum for the first like three months.
Yeah. Yep, which was funny to watch Domo's. I remember seeing his Dune dashboard, and it was just like, you could see the volume, and it was Emblem Vault. It was all in ETH. And they're like, what? This is the state of things. This is depressing. But
not depressing. The birth of a movement. It's the birth of
Fair enough, yeah. But yeah, it was very interesting to, because I had a Megapunk.
Mm-hmm.
You guys did a big launch with them.
Yep.
Mark and the team are awesome. And that's when I was like, okay, what am I doing here? First, I gotta get some ETH. Ugh. And then... but then I had to like unwrap it and then get the private keys, and it was very foreign.
Yeah. And very clunky, to be honest. Like, we at Emblem Vault know the clunkiness that it entails.
And that's the question is like the UX question, because, so I guess the first kind of like double click is, because you're revealing the private keys in this way.
Yeah.
Technically every asset you want to trade, you have to spin up a new wallet, put that item in there, and then wrap it? Is that the current conception?
Well, so in the old system, well, the idea is this. Once they put it in an Emblem Vault, they're never going to want to take it out. Because Emblem Vault gives them this functionality of accessing all the chains. Why would you ever want to take it out?
I see.
But you can. So if you ever want to unwrap that Megapont and actually own it again in an Xverse wallet as an ordinal, you can.
Yep.
Right. But we found, just for example, with Rare Pepes, almost nobody unvaults their Rare Pepes.
Mm. Right?
Once they put it in the Rare Pep, in the Emblem Vault, and have it on Ethereum, they're good.
Got it.
It's actually, for a lot of people, especially, it's way better now, thanks to Xverse and Leather and all these great wallets on with Ordinals and Bitcoin. But before, frankly, the wallets sucked on Bitcoin, right? So people were happy to hold it on Ethereum because they could have it in their ledger or on a hardware wallet, you know, somewhere safe and secure where they felt good about, you know, the way they hold it. So it's funny. We don't see a lot of unlocking of the vaults. And I think as we build out the infrastructure, it'll become even less likely that people unlock and take the native asset because of the functionality that having it and holding it in an Emblem Vault actually provides.
Interesting. So you can think of it as like you're putting in this kind of like liquidity capsule, if you will, or like interoperability capsule.
That's right.
And then do a bunch of things. And if you want to, you can kind of think of it as like, if you want to unwrap it and bring it back to base chain, it's almost like you're going back to self-custody of the asset when you want those maximal trust assumptions.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right.
But is there, so like, I'm sure that the question that pops up is like, as liquidity grows, as things get bigger, what if Emblem Vault goes down?
Yeah.
Like, can I unwrap and get my Pepe?
Well, this is the thing. There are trust assumptions using Emblem Vault, right? It's not fully decentralized. We actually do have a pretty great plan to become fully decentralized, but it's going to be 18 months to 2 years.
Got it.
I mean, it's the thing. It was the dream when we started, but you know the way buildings takes
totally.
It's really hard.
Yep.
So the first steps are more chain integrations first. We have to get more use cases.
Yep.
Where investors and people can really see that. I mean, we've already had one product market fit, you know, with rare Pepes and historical NFTs in 21,
mm-hmm.
and we did tens of millions of dollars in trading volume. But people always want, okay, well, what's the next one?
Right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, you know, building out that infrastructure where we have that, those just the, right now we have over $100 million in total value locked.
Okay.
But if we get up to, you know, $1 billion in total value
yep.
locked, I think that's the point in time where people are fully going to understand what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so many people don't get it.
Yeah.
And once we kind of move in that direction, then the decentralization aspect, which we're talking about, I think we'll be ready to do it then.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take quite a heavy lift to do it.
But, interesting.
Yeah.
How do you guys think about, like, go-to-market in the sense of, like, you're seeing this blending of Bitcoin and ETH. They're kind of starting to merge to some way. Like, you're seeing, like, people doing Bitcoin to Solana bridges. And there's, like, there's always a question there of, like, okay, cool, now that I'm on Solana, what can I do?
Right.
The chicken and egg again, like, liquidity or apps, who knows what comes first. But when you think about, like, how to build out your tentacles of where to, like, be able to deploy.
Yep.
You have Bitcoin assets, and it sounds like a big go-to-market for you is Bitcoin assets on the EVM side.
Right.
So, like, how do you guys think about focus when it comes to, like, Bitcoin chains, EVM chains, Bitcoin assets? Is it, like, that whole time?
It's I don't think there's a perfect solution.
Yeah.
I think we've got a few grants already to build on chains and L2s. So we're leaning into that because it helps fund.
On the Bitcoin side or on?
Both.
Okay.
Both. And so we're leaning into that. That helps us expand, you know, the number of chains we're going to be on. And it also allows us to access those different communities. So
yep.
Say we're going to go on Arbitrum, right? It allows us, when we do that, to integrate with the communities on Arbitrum.
Yep.
And I think at the same time, it allows us to kind of connect with those builders on Arbitrum to see, oh, wait a minute, we can put our stuff on Ethereum or we can put our stuff on Bitcoin. Wait. So yep. It allows us to, you know, kind of grow our communities and not only put the assets on Arbitrum, but also awaken that Arbitrum community to them bringing to other bridges
yep.
or to other chains. And I think that's important as well. Like, we're at such early stages as crypto that people just don't even understand how this stuff's going to work, right?
Yep.
Everything is so clunky now. If I want to bridge to Arbitrum, oh, geez, I don't even know how to do it.
Yeah,
I got to go figure this stuff out.
Yep.
We're at that stage, right? So I think a lot of it is just community building, you know, reaching out to teams and groups and NFT collections and all this sort of stuff, marketplaces and stuff.
Yep.
You know, I'm sure there's an NFT marketplace on Arbitrum. I have no idea what it
is. Yeah.
But when we do these sort of things, it's like, I'm going to find out what it is.
Yep.
I'm going to for sure be able to convince them that they want rare Pepes on their marketplace, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting for them.
Yeah.
Right. And be able to build communities that way. And I think, you know, the success that Emblem's had, you know, at a grassroots level is our ability to do that, you know, and that's why we do, you know, shows every week and podcasts and all this sort of stuff and interview people like you do.
Yeah.
Because we're able to create those relationships. So when it comes time to actually, you know, build on other chains, we've kind of built up those relationships, those core communities, and we can actually do it, you know? And so I think that's kind of our strategy
yep.
right now with it. And, you know, we have a lot of experience doing this. You know, we did it with Ordinals.
Yep.
We did it with Stamps. We did it with Escriptions. You know, all those kind of nascent communities, you know, used Emblem Vault, right? And that's just because we knew everybody. We were talking with everybody. The tech was basically built. I mean, people launched Stamps and had them in emblem vaults the next day. You know what I mean? And so the tech was there. And, you know, even though a little bit clunky, I'd love you to try it now and see how much more seamless it is.
Interesting.
We've done, I think, a pretty good job of building. Our mobile comes out next week, which is like...
Mobile app?
Mobile app. Not an app, but you can use it on your phone.
Nice, okay.
Which is crazy. Like, what other company in, like, web... And to be able to do literally tens of millions of dollars in sales and it's all on desktop. Like, nobody...
Yeah.
It just shows how good a product market that we have.
Yeah.
For certain, you know, unique cases.
Yep.
That people would, you know...
Well, it shows how...
Jump through hoops.
And it shows how early crypto is, because in the Web 2 world, everyone's on mobile.
Yeah.
So, like, not to build mobile first is suicide.
It's literally suicide.
But we're... Xverse on the Bitcoin side is, like, the only mobile wallet to anything.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, I think Frank Degod put out a tweet today. He's like, what's the difference between meme coins in 21 and meme coins today? And I said, user experience. Like, the user experience of buying meme coins in 21 was, like, I don't even know. You're on, like, Unisat. You're trying to
figure
it's like, what is this? Right now, like, I have it on my phone.
Yep.
My Photon app, and I buy, sell, it's boom. Like, yep. Right?
If I want to watch a coin,
it's on my phone.
Yep. We're seeing the Telegram bots. Everyone's doing, like, the cat bots to make it easier.
Totally.
So.
Totally. So imagine that. I mean, that's where we're, I mean, it's great. You know you have good product. That's what crypto has. It's good product. Ability to make money. I can make money somehow, magically.
Yep.
Magic internet money. Even though the tech really sucks, right? The end-user interface sucks.
Yeah.
Across the board,
yeah.
Right? So imagine when it's good, right? And we're seeing that. Solana is good right now.
Yeah.
And there's been an explosion when Bitcoin gets good. When, you know,
yep.
we just have a road ahead of us.
Yeah. Right?
We got to get a lot better as an industry, a lot better.
On the wallet question, so, like, because you support so many chains, when I'm using, I'm trying to think back to when I did it,
You probably use MetaMask.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do I connect two wallets then? Like, you know, if I'm putting my Pepes in or my Ordinals in.
So let's say you have an Ordinal, right?
Yeah.
You have it in your Xverse app. Okay. You would go, if you wanted to bring it to Ethereum, you'd have your MetaMask or whatever, you know, Rabi or whatever, you know, wallet you have on Ethereum. And you'd go through the process of making the vault on Ethereum. And then, with your Bitcoin, with your Xverse app, you would take that Ordinal and send it into the Ethereum NFT. So that's how we maintain that you don't actually know the seed phrase to that wallet that's on Ethereum, right?
Got it.
You're actually sending the NFT to it, or sending the Ordinal to.
And just to be clear, the thing you're sending, because when you said sending, my brain's like short-circuiting, so I'm like, it's on Bitcoin. Well, how's it getting to ETH? But... You're sending it
to a Bitcoin wallet.
But you're sending the... Yeah, so...
An Ordinal.
A new Bitcoin wallet that has a new private key.
Correct.
And it's so... And
held within that NFT.
And that secret's not revealed...
Correct.
Until someone wants to unlock it.
Correct.
Got it.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Yeah.
So the NFT on Ethereum actually holds the private key, and nobody knows what that is.
Yep.
Until you unlock it. That way you can trade that NFT all around because nobody knows it, right? And then if they ever want to get back to... their Xverse wallet and take control of that Ordinal again.
Yep.
They unlock the NFT, which is literally burning the NFT.
Yep.
And that reveals the private keys, and you can import the private keys into Xverse or Leather. Or
got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking back, well, Jeff's something to add. Go ahead.
What's that? No, go.
Well, I was just thinking about the going back to the original plan was like this luxury items marketplace, mm-hmm. and given like even just the friction of like. Spinning up a special private key wallet, which is a very cool idea. But then, like, when I want to... You now have a wallet that's empty, basically. It has an asset, but it has no Bitcoin in it. So now, if I'm going to use that, I have to send in BTC. If I want to move it somewhere else, pay that gas fee. So there's a bunch of inherent frictions.
Totally.
Which means, to me, is this is always going to be tailored to the higher value, luxury, digital collectibles.
Yep.
You think that's right?
I think in the short term, yes.
Yeah.
It's high value. That's certainly where our market fit is right now, is high value items. I think in the future though, it won't be. I think there will always be a place for what Wormhole's doing with super inexpensive asset moving, right? That, when I think about games or, I don't know, points at a Starbucks or something, where it has to be basically free and you want it everywhere.
Yep.
Okay, that makes total sense because I want it on Arbitrum or Base or whatever, and it should be basically free. Okay, that burn and mint mechanism should be basically free.
Yep.
That wormhole do that.
Yep.
But anything that gets to any sort of value above that, any sort of provenance, and so you're talking basically all ordinals, right? All rare Pepes, like anything that gets above any sort of like low dollar value,
yep,
you're going to want to maintain that problem,
yep,
of the original token. And so I think that's where we sit right now. And to your question about multiple wallets and all that sort of stuff, 100% totally get it. I think right now the idea of using five different wallets for five different chains, I think you see some nice movement from, you know, a couple companies kind of moving into this, like with Magic Eden's doing with their marketplace.
Yep.
Still clunky.
Yeah.
Still have to choose and stuff. What we're building is this idea of a multi-chain marketplace. So the marketplace itself that we've actually built out is you go and you look at rare Pepes, right? And rare Pepes are on Counterparty. If you want to buy it on Counterparty, hold it in your Counterparty wallet, and pay with Bitcoin, you can't.
Yep.
If you want to view it from your Solana wallet, pay with Sol, and receive it on Solana, so you never leave your Solana wallet,
yep,
you can't.
Mm.
That's the vision. So
huge.
Meet the collector where they are, if they're in Ethereum, whatever. Meet them wherever they are, pay with whatever they want, and receive it wherever they want.
Yep.
So that's the grander idea of what we're building. And I think it's super exciting, that idea. And we're starting with a marketplace because I look at it, and I don't even like to call it, it's a marketplace, right? But I look at it as a hub, right? Where the person can come in from any chain, pay with whatever they want, and receive it wherever they want.
Yep.
And the tech we're building out allows that to actually take place.
Very interesting. Yeah, because I remember when I bought the Megapunk, I think I bought it on OpenSea because you guys didn't have a marketplace at the time. So, Yeah, it's a super, you have no competition in the sense of like the way you build this tech out is one of one.
Yeah, and it's one of one for now.
It's very, very interesting.
And we were talking about like how long it's taken to build. Our moat's, I think, a pretty deep moat.
Yeah.
Like I know people are, what do you guys do? Oh, cool. I'm like, go for it, bro.
Yeah.
I'll see you in a couple years.
Well, I mean,
it's hard.
To be fair, the one big friction that you'll never get away from is the private key management. There's something in Bitcoin called Mercury Layer, which kind of does, not the same way, but like it takes a UTXO and puts it up into the Mercury Layer. And now it's like, it's kind of like non-fungible sats where you can't change the balance. It's just, you can move that one entity around very fast and it does some kind of like multi-sig thing. So it's kind of like that, which is like once you put it in the vault, you can now in this world to trade on.
Yeah.
But the one big friction point that you're always leaning into
is private keys.
The private
key. How do you maintain the private key?
Yeah.
Is that decentralized in a way? And yeah, that's, you know, it's a real challenge. And I don't know if it's right. How we're going to trade across chains is super challenging, right? Is it possible to be fully decentralized? Is it possible to be, you know, not have the risks associated with a bridge? These are huge challenges that are not easily solved, right?
Yeah.
And so you see a bunch of different companies providing different solutions. And not to say ours is the best way. It's certainly not the best way if you want to trade inexpensive items. You know, gas is expensive. It's clunky, right? There's certain things that are in our benefit and certain things that aren't, right?
Yeah.
So there's no, and I don't look at it as there's perfect solutions. There are just different solutions.
Yep.
Same way with like L2s, right? There are no perfect L2s right now, right? They're just different trade-offs for different mechanisms and stuff. And so, you know, we're throwing our hat in the ring in one kind of niche, which we know works. It's just a question of, you know, finding market fit for, you know, what the market wants.
Yep.
And I mean, we're leaning into some stuff now and have some stuff coming out in the next few months, which I think will push different things that I don't think people have looked at with maybe fungible tokens, you know, taking fungible tokens across chain.
Okay.
Is there any interest in that?
Yeah.
Like, I think there might be. But again, I don't really know. Like, yep. Who knows? Do we know if Dog's going to do well on Solana? People are, you know, playing around with that now. Do we know if Solana tokens would do well on Base? I don't know.
Mm.
Right. But you've got, I think part of, you know, you've been in this long enough to know that part of it is just experimenting.
Yep.
Trying stuff out. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. But we've built more tech. We'll build on top of it. And we're certainly ready for when the next thing happens. I don't think anybody's in a better position to move assets cross-chain when the next thing.
And given the construction, we've been talking about one-offs currently, like one Pepe or one Ordinal. But technically, you can sell bundles.
Absolutely. And so actually, one of the things that was important for us to build out was doing like bulk inscribing, bulk jumping.
Yeah.
So when you were putting in one megapot, right? If you had bought 20 of them, you had to create 20 different transactions to do 20 different vaults. Big pain in the butt, right?
Yeah.
So we've basically solved that, right? So you can create multiples at the same time. You can save gas, and then you can do multiple jumps at the same time. So if you want to vault multiple ones, or you want to move multiples to a different chain, like, we've solved that, right? Okay. So that took away a big pain point that our collectors have, because a lot of people have literally hundreds of Pepes, right?
Yep.
And so they don't want to do one at a time
and
do all that sort of stuff. So yeah, that was a big pain point that we've now solved.
That's super cool. Cool. Couple last questions to bring this to a close. One, this is a founder-focused podcast, so I love getting into, like, design decisions, because it's like, it helps people think through, like, it's all about trade-offs. And so one nuance I'm thinking about here is, like, because you have this private key mechanism that's at the base level of everything you do, I can see a world where you make that easier, like, say, importing. Unwrapping and spinning up a new wallet and importing is like a one-click whatever. But there's tension there in the market because it's a behavior that no one does often.
That's right.
You type it in once, hopefully, definitely don't lose it. but like, the amount of times people type in, and I remember when I did the Megapunk thing, I had to, like, okay, cool, let me make sure I'm getting the words right. And
yeah, that's all solved. So what you're talking about, just for listeners to understand, is that, like, you had a Megapunk, right? And it was Megapunk number 2065, right? You had to literally type in Megapunk 2065, right? We've solved all that.
Yeah.
So now if you wanted to put a Megapunk in, you would simply send the Megapunk to the address you provide.
Yep.
And our system now understands that that's Megapunk 265.
Yeah.
And it fills out all the information for you.
Got it. Yeah.
So all that stuff, all those technical, you know, hurdles where people were screwing up,
putting
the wrong number. Yeah. All that stuff's been solved.
So on the...
So the asset itself.
Yeah.
Our system recognizes every type.
On the private key management side, though, like... And maybe this is the wrong question, because you have this assumption that once you lock, you don't unlock. Like, once you vault, you stay vaulted and you just move around.
Yeah.
So the idea of having to reveal the private key and deal with that is probably a niche behavior.
That's the behavior we want to make niche, which is like, oh, I want to unlock my Megapunk and take it back from Solana back to my Ordinals wallet.
Yep.
That's the one that... You know, we don't want people to.
I guess,
right? We want people to stay in the system.
The question I have is, like, I can see you guys building, making it easier for the person who wants to unwrap. So, like, you unwrap, the private key's revealed, and now you, whether it's through working with Xverse or something, you can make that easier.
We actually did make it easier. Yeah, we actually helped create for Frank from D-Gods. He wanted to do, because, you know, he has the Ordinals, the D-Gods on Ordinals.
Yep,
and he wanted to. The Ordinals people to be able to swap with people who had their D-Gods on E. So we created a marketplace where you could do swaps back and forth. And part of that process was unlocking the... Because you had to put the Bitcoin D-God into a vault, right? And he wanted to make that unlock as easy as possible. Because Frank was very big about holding the Ordinals on Bitcoin in a Bitcoin wallet.
Yep.
Great. So we actually worked with Xverse to make that unlock feature. It was basically an unlock to Xverse feature. where you didn't have to see the private keys or whatever, just unlocked directly into the wallet.
Got it.
Yeah, so that was a pain point that we worked through, you know, the technical details of making that happen with a wallet to natively do it.
Got it.
So yeah, that I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that was, we saw that same pain point, and working with Frank, that was something we you know, figured out how to do working with the X-First team.
Got it. Very cool. Yeah. Well, man, this has been great.
Yeah,
last question. What are you excited about right now? It could be with Emerald Vault. It can be with Bitcoin broadly. Like, in the space, what's got you hyped right now?
Believe it or not, meme coins. I think, you know, it's really interesting, the swings that we're going through in the market. And I think what we've gone from, you know, starting with kind of the ICO boom, and we've swung and like ultimate, what's the utility?
Yep.
We've swung all the way to meme coins, which are no utility. It's nothing. It's barely even an itch pitcher, right? We've swung like full nothingness, right?
Yeah.
And what I'm excited is that we've gone all the way to the edge of where that
the pure speculation
can go.
Yep.
And now it'll start swinging back. Mm. And I'm excited for that, because what that is we're back to what's crypto good for, right? And I think that excites me again, because there are things that, like, I mean, I know, you know, 95% of ICOs were scams.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean that the idea behind ICOs wasn't good.
Yep.
And we can hopefully, with an administration that's at least a little bit open to crypto,
yep,
come back to what are the real use cases here? What are we building? You know, how can we build this thing out to actually allow freedom for people, individuals, and the world?
That is the craziest but very practical take on meme coins being a benefit.
Oh, yeah.
It makes total sense. Like, a lot of people were kind of jaded by the ICOs, and like everyone says they have utility, but like, where's the utility?
Sure.
And now we've swung full into pure degen, nihilistic crypto is not going to save the world.
Exactly.
But once you hit that wall, yeah, the only
There's
place
nowhere
to,
else
go,
to go,
you have the to go back to the way. That's a great take. Cool, man. Well, this has been fantastic. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for listening this far into the episode. If you found it enjoyable, please do like, subscribe on whatever platform that you're listening on. YouTube does me a huge favor to like and subscribe. Find me on Twitter at Jake Blockchain. Show me some love. I reply to every DM. And if you are a Bitcoin builder that is kind of at the forefront of building new use cases, whether it's L1, Lightning, Stacks, Rootstock, Rollups, Ordinals, BRC20, I want to talk to you. So when I'm not doing this podcast, I am the sourcing partner at the Bitcoin Frontier Fund, where we invest in Bitcoin startups at the earliest stages, give you access to whatever you need, whether it's legal, product, fundraising help, as well as capital. So love to talk to you. You can hit me up again. Find me on Twitter at Jake Blockchain and shoot me a DM. I'll read everything. Love to talk to you guys. All right, peace. It's gone up. We playing the long game to the block rock chains with the rocks paid off from the blockchain. Going up high octane, so we up in here like pomade. Making big noise, big money. Go play with your kid toys. You funny, I'm counting my Bitcoin. We up and we been gone. It's gone up. Planned it out and we did this purposefully. Panning out like the kitchen currently. It's like surgery. Way it's earning me. A nurse's salary for cryptocurrency. I'm on a vacay drinking coconuts while wearing polka dots. This ain't no hocus pocus. Listen up and learn. It's gone up.